The amount of times Peter has spit into my mouth when I've held his punching bag. Oh, my God. I don't know how this is going to work.
And at boxing, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm Derek Ovinga, and I'm here with...
Scott Irwin.
Peter Bishop.
And we have a guest today. She's a former... Well, I guess you're not a former ZGM employee. You're just on mat leave. It's Panita McBrien. Hey, Panita.
Hello.
And Panita is the... What? You're the... You weren't the... Were you the group account director?
Director of account services in Edmonton.
I like how it's all past tense. It's like you were...
Yeah.
You were... I know. I never know how that... I never know how mat leaves work. It's like, are you a former employee or you're still an employee? Like you're on our website.
I'm still an employee.
Still an employee.
You just the company just doesn't pay me anymore. And yeah, I
you just
do
don't do anything.
Oh, jeez. Off to a great start.
But now, I will be back doing the thing in November.
I know, and I can't wait.
Just on hiatus. Think of it like a hiatus.
Hiatus, yeah. You're on, you're on baby sabbatical.
Yeah. Baby sabbatical.
How's mom life going?
Mom life is great. I'm feeling very lucky. It's a good time to be on maternity leave because there's no FOMO anyways, because no one else is really doing anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my life hasn't really changed that much. So I get to hang out with my adorable baby all day.
Has it been a lot of podcasts while you've been pregnant? Like listening to podcasts?
Yes and no. Like I have my ones that I listen to whenever there's new ones. So like I'm a huge Malcolm Gladwell fan. So I like ripped through his newer season of Revisionist History.
Ooh.
When it came out while I was pregnant. But otherwise I'm more of an audiobook person usually. So I've gone through a lot of audiobooks.
How many times have you listened to our podcast? None.
Literally zero times.
We can edit that out. It's okay, Derek.
Yeah.
Thanks for being honest.
Or just add 900 times.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't want to, but because I just never listen to podcasts.
You have to be on the podcast, sort of.
I bookmark all of them. I have them all saved.
Small wins. We'll take it.
It's okay, Punita. I don't listen to them either.
Yeah, to be honest, we don't blame you.
I read the summaries of all of them, which are great subjects.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know we had summaries.
Partly, okay, in my defense, marketing and business are not really relevant to my day-to-day life right now. My days these days are a lot about poop. Baby poop and baby food.
I mean, we do a lot of toilet humor on the podcast. That's sort of related.
That's relevant.
We try to avoid it. Yeah.
I will listen to all of them before I come back to work. That I promise.
Well, it's good to have you on the podcast. This is as close to work as you're going to get for a little while.
I know. It's very exciting. I get to use my functioning, working professional brain again.
Good.
Bit.
We need it because we have nothing.
Partially functioning.
Yeah. Right now, you know, social media is a tough thing. The Black Lives Matter movement is kind of the catalyst for the topic that we're talking about today. You know, brands are kind of forced. They feel the need to speak up on social media to take a stance on something. But sometimes that message may or may not hit very well. So today we're going to talk about, with Benita, navigating social good and cause for brands in 2020.
It's funny that when you started saying that, your instinct was to say brands are forced.
I know.
Because I do think, like, whether obviously it doesn't feel good to say that sentence, but I think that's what's happening is that, you know, we've moved, I don't know if I want to call it a generational shift with Generation Z or just a change in the times, but we've gone from it being just like a really good, like bar lifting thing for a brand or a corporation to align themselves with a cause, or to align themselves with their customer social values, to now it's like we're past that. And there's like, it's just, it's changed so rapidly. And now it's like, if you're not aligning yourself with people's social values, it's like you're canceled. So it's this weird, like super awkward situation that I think a lot of companies have found themselves in because they've never figured out what their voice is when it comes to something other than their product or services. And all of a sudden they're feeling compelled to say, yes, we're anti-racist. Yes, we stand with the Black Lives Matter movement. And it's a really tough thing to then all of a sudden like pull out a statement or put that out there when you're not used to doing that as a company. If all you've ever talked about is your products and your services and talking to your customers and business all the time, it's like, I think for a lot of companies, all of a sudden, this is like a very new thing to figure out. How do we talk about very, very serious and heavy subject matter with our customers and our communities and make sure people know where we stand and to make sure that it actually feels authentic. Like I want to assume that any brand who wants to make a statement, it is authentic. But that's not always the case either. We can talk about that. But it's really tough. Like it's tough to put it into words and not feel empty. And like there's companies like Ben and Jerry's who, you know, they went way past the full mile. And, you know, there's companies that go really far to articulate all of the things that are, in this case, representative of a movement. Some businesses that just, you know, post a black square and say muted and listening, hashtag Black Lives Matter, which doesn't feel like much, but then it's that whole debate is like, what do we expect companies to say and brands to say? At what point are you saying something because you feel like you have to say something as a brand versus saying something because it really does align with who you are as a company, who you are as a brand, how you intentionally do business and what your customers care about. Like it's, I want to say it's a spectrum, but I don't know. I think it's tough for a lot of businesses to know exactly where they're coming out on that spectrum.
It's coming off the heels of COVID where most brands were expected to come out with a statement around COVID. And we were just talking about this before. It was just like you had to support everyone. At the same time, you have to kind of keep your business afloat. But at that time, it felt like, oh, everyone gets a medal for participation. In this case, it feels like there are people who do it right, and then there are almost penalties for people who don't do it right. You know, people aren't as forgiving. And I don't know if it's the trend moving forward or if this just was one particular case where it's very sensitive, but it feels like thin ice on a lot of areas where, you know, if you come out, you have to follow through, where you can't, like you said, a black screen is going to probably do more damage than perhaps not even doing anything at this point, because you're putting yourself out there saying you're going to do something or that you care about this thing, and then you're just not following through on anything. I think people expect more now. So I do think it's just the table stakes are higher now. It just feels like in this last round.
Yeah. And I do think that this, even though it does feel like it's this one example where it's such a heavy subject matter and it's just reached this tipping point where the expectations are higher, but I do think it's going to change what is expected of a brand if they want to capitalize on getting that brand affinity for being aligned with a cause or aligned with social values. I think from this point forward, you're going to see people expect more than just, let's use pride as an example. So for the last like almost a decade, probably, it's become super expected, super common, you know, to have a rainbow as your social media profile icon or have some sort of pride-ified version of your logo and express in some way your support of pride in whatever community you're in. Like when a cause comes up that they think we genuinely care about this, or we've realized that our customers care about this thing, so we're going to do something, that performative action has been kind of just fine. Like, it's almost like the public's just been happy to have the support of corporations. So we're like, yeah, sure, paint a rainbow on it. And you've seen that backlash building from the LGBTQ2 community over the past, like, I think from my experience, from what I'm hearing and seeing, I'm seeing that backlash in the last like 2 or 3 years getting really, really strong. And Edmonton, our Pride Parade actually got canceled last year because of that clash, where members of the community are saying, no, painting a rainbow on it and showing up at our parade is not enough. They're saying that to the police force. Mm. They're saying that to brands. They're saying you can't just benefit from being allied with our cause when you're not actually doing anything. So I think this Black Lives Matter movement now is kind of like that, all that feeling has kind of like reached this like climax, and people are just like, no, you don't get to say Black Lives Matter and get all the bonus points from the public of you saying that when you haven't actually done anything to help advance this cause or fight racism.
Is it? Yeah, because and you hit the nail on the head, right, Punita, about, I think, just as it's a lot of it just feels superficial, right? It just sort of rings hollow a little bit. And I assume anybody who's watched any leadership in any corporation around the world who's watched the George Floyd video would absolutely be moved by it and say, this is absolutely, you know, horrific, and we condemn it. But when everybody is saying the same thing without any real action to change anything, does it really matter? Or is it even the place of a brand, of a corporation? And so I guess my question is like, what role do brands and, you know, to broaden it a little bit further, just corporations have in participating in this conversation, right? I think everybody has a responsibility to move this forward and really start recognizing that this shit is still going on in 2020. But I'm trying to put myself in the, you know, in the position of person of color who's just, and the rage that people are feeling. And do I really care if so-and-so ice cream shop or hamburger joint or shoe company is coming out with an email telling me about how bad they feel about it? I don't know that I would. I don't know. I think it's an impossible situation for so many people. But
yeah, but on the flip side of that, I think there's this concept of like conscious consumerism and voting with your dollar that I think is a huge part of how people are making buying decisions, especially again, generationally. Like, I think Generation Z, even more so than us millennials, that's a huge part of how they decide where they're going to spend their money. Even though I totally get what you're saying. It feels so weird for the ice cream shop down the street to feel like they need to make a statement in support of Black Lives Matter. It's almost like as a brand, you need to make sure that people do know where you stand at risk of losing their loyalty or losing customers because there's uncertainty about where you stand on the issues that they care about. So
yeah, totally.
Right? Like, it's so messy. Yeah. And then on that whole thing, there's been a couple of really interesting cases that just like, again, we're talking about like, where people, can we swear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I have a really hard time talking about things and not swearing. It's going to be really difficult when Harrison gets older. Yeah, there's been some serious fuck-ups. Like, there's the public fuck-ups that, like, the whole, like, general public sees of, like, oh, you guys really blew that. But then there's the smaller ones of companies that might have, at its core, a good idea and good intentions. I apologize if there's baby squeals in my audio.
Super excited. Yeah,
Derek can edit it out.
The swearing combined with the baby squeals is
really...
Yeah,
really taking us down a notch here.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Geez.
So it's the little things like that are behind, well, they're not little things, but they're the things that the public doesn't see that are behind closed doors. So a company might have, again, good intentions, and they might even be a great ally. So in this case, so we're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. But then in their effort to publicize how supportive they are or what a great ally they are, they really screw it up. So one example, a friend of mine who's Black was reached out to by a company who she had done some work with in the past. And they were asking her if they could post a photo of her and other members of their, other Black members of their community. It was so bizarre because they wanted to like post some content and they wanted to show in their content, obviously, that they're not all white or whatever. right? And so
that's like me saying I can make these jokes because I have a Black friend.
100%. It's 100%. Right? It is the corporate version of that. And it's like we're laughing, but I think these are just the examples I know of. Imagine how many Black people right now have been dealing with this. So that's one example. Another one is an artist that I follow on Instagram, Black artist in the States. She does a lot of mural art, and she posted a screenshot of an email that she got from Microsoft's agency. I'm not going to use names because we don't need to do that. But one of Microsoft's agencies reached out to this artist and said, hey, the Microsoft store on whatever avenue in New York is boarded up right now. We thought, what a beautiful way to express our solidarity with the movement, but to put a mural in support of Black Lives Matter up. We love your work. Ideally, this needs to be done by Sunday while the protests are still top of mind. Let us know and we can bring you this evening. So I shouldn't even be laughing because obviously, like, this woman was just horrified. And she walked through, she did a great job when she posted it, of walking through, this is why this sucks. One, you're drawing attention to my Blackness. Thank you for making me feel like an other. Two, like, while the protests are top of mind, like,
how convenient.
This is all going to disappear next week. So please, I need you to, I need you to do this work ASAP so that we can gain maximum, I don't know, affinity from your work. While the, just the whole thing is just so gross. These are the things where it's like, you can just picture being a fly on the wall in that agency boardroom or in that corporate boardroom where they're like, there's probably a good intention at the core of something like that. But yeah, the execution, like, it's not, it's not a campaign, guys. Like, it's, this is first and foremost and only a social movement to save people's lives and get justice. And nowhere is there room for your corporate performance ship. So it's kind of, and but then, you know, bringing it back to what we were talking about before, on the flip side of that, brands feel like they have no choice but to make sure people understand where they stand on this issue. So I do not envy, I do not envy any company who's trying to get this right now.
What if you're Dove, right? So Dove has stood for women's rights and empowering women for years and years. And now this comes up and maybe there's something down the road. Like, is there like you have a cause that you are aligned with and you have something that you stand for. And then is this a flash in the pan for you? Or is this now a new thing that you add on to your cause? Like, how long do you highlight this? Like, I think these are interesting questions too. Like, are you abandoning your existing cause and looking like you're jumping around, or is this something that you're on Do you know what I'm trying to get at? Like, it's like you have something that you are, you are pillaring around. How much attention does this get when you are already attached to something that you think is equally critical?
You know, brands who come into this who already have a definitive cause or like higher purpose that they focus on, either in their company, and or ideally it's like all of the things, right? Like ideally you have something, and ideally, you know, inclusion and anti-racism is a part of who you are and your product. But I mean, sometimes maybe it's not top of mind, and then this is an opportunity for it to become that way. But even like, I was thinking about the Dove example, like, so their whole thing is about like self-esteem and, you know, changing and fighting back against traditional beauty standards and all these things. And it's like, they can continue to stand behind that as, you know, their sort of core value and core purpose. And something like Black Lives Matter, where all of a sudden it's like this huge, moment to really make sure that Black voices and Black lives are valued and respected and represented. Like someone like Dove, and again, I probably should have looked at what they've been doing, but just like thinking about being in that marketing team and social media team, that was probably a much more natural, I don't want to say easy conversation, but it probably wasn't as hard for them to say, okay, how do we make sure that we're taking all the steps and doing all the things to make sure that Black lives are prioritized in our company and in our marketing and in our product, than a company who's never had conversations like that. A company who's never really had cause front and center, who's never thought beyond like, this is a thing that we sell, we try to make money selling this thing. If you've never really thought beyond that, then a cause like this comes along and it's like probably a really awkward thing for them to try and figure out. Band-Aid was a really funny one this week. I don't know if you guys, or maybe that was last week. I don't know if you guys saw that. Oh yeah,
I did see that.
Like 2020, how long has that company existed? And why is it like just now that you can get more than one skin color in their product?
Oh.
Like, right?
Do you know what I heard today? I don't know if you saw it. Aunt Jemima's rebranding.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And it's funny because I totally forget about it. And then you're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. How is that still a thing? Like, you just, it's just so in the background, you don't even see it. But then you look at it for the first time, it seems lately. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, how did we get away with this for so long? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's that one in Uncle Ben's, I think they're changing, and another one too, which I'd never heard of. But
this is one that's interesting, and it's like a very Canadian, obviously very hyper-local example, but I mean, it's not a Black Lives Matter moment necessarily, because it's not as relevant to Black Canadians. But in Canada, of course, Indigenous Canadians have been a huge part of this conversation and this movement, which is fantastic. And the Edmonton Eskimos put out a tweet, like pretty early on in this whole thing, they put out a tweet that was just like a fairly generic statement about, you know, being anti-racist and Black Lives Matter, which, I mean, they probably felt like they had to, because a lot of their players are Black and have been Black over the years. And this, I do think they're a brand that needs to have a position on something like this. It's like every single reply was like, change your name. Okay, cool, but change your name. Okay, cool, but how in 2020 is that still your name? Stop being racist. Maybe start there. Like, it was just like, I didn't even actually count how many replies they got, but it was just like, they got ratioed, as I just learned that term on Twitter, by the way.
What is it? What is ratioed?
So when you look at a tweet, if it's like the comments, like the replies, if then that number is like exponentially higher than the number of likes and retweets, you did not a good thing.
Yeah,
it's
not, yeah, that's not a good, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bad sentiment. Yeah. Yeah. It's been going on for years too. Like, it's, there's so many sports teams, like the Redskins and the Blackhawks and all of that. They've all been dealing with
Cleveland.
And it must be tough when your name, which shows up every time you post or anytime anyone reposts, like your name just keeps getting hammered in over and over and over if you're the Edmonton Eskimos, right? Like you can't get away from it. I think when anything ever is repressed and then suddenly the lid comes off, there's this explosion period where, and you saw it with me too, where it's just fingers pointing everywhere, everyone exploding with this information. Like I expect this is similar, where it's like suddenly the lid came off and we all are now exposed to the ideas, and everyone's excited and people want to be involved and are getting their hands slapped. And there's a lot of things going on. And then I would imagine it normalizes, but then the alternative is when you look at something like a natural disasters that have happened in the past, is it explodes and then it's immediately forgotten when the next big thing comes along. Right. And I don't think that happened with Me Too, but I guess that's one of the concerns I would imagine is this just going to happen until Trump does the next crazy thing? And then the whole world's attention shifts, or is this going to withstand for the long haul, just like go on a simmer, right? Like I'm curious to see how it plays out, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the hope is that that's not the case at all, right? Like the hope is that, and I think that that's what's so smart about this whole, I don't know what to call the group of people, because it's kind of everyone. Like it's all of sort of Generation Z, a lot of our generation being millennials kind of jumping on, and just kind of the rest of the world. Like it's such a diverse and huge group of people that are all over this movement right now. And I think there's this sort of like really smart angle of like, let's put this front and center in the business world, because that way it's like, I mean, I saw another example, I saw ATB's statement, and a lot of big brands are taking this angle where they're putting in writing. Poppy Barley here in Edmonton also put out a similar statement where they're not just putting out a statement and saying, we stand with Black Lives Matter. They're saying, we are updating our company operating policies. We are updating our core values. We are revamping our whole recruitment strategy and where we recruit from. And you know what I mean? They're actually taking this inward look and then actioning their support. And I think that's what gives something like this way more longevity, is when you're like, looking at organizations and governments and whoever that actually have control over this, and you're putting it in their hands to say, what are you going to do about this that actually matters? And you're right. Like the cynic in me wants to say like, okay, as far as like the public conversation goes, yes, it's very possible that this isn't really like dominating the news cycle anymore after a few more weeks or whatever. But I think the hope is, and if I think a lot of companies and organizations get this right, it should and could have a really lasting effect on how a lot of companies do business, like a lot of companies. If we're seeing it this tangibly and we're seeing such like substantive changes to like local businesses in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, that's pretty exciting to me to think about like what major brands are going to have to do in order to get people's trust through something like this. I mean, yeah, I always have like the little angel and devil on either shoulder, like the optimist and the pessimist or the optimist and the cynic. And like the optimist in me wants to say that like, there's a lot of like, yeah, in the public conversation might be a flash in the pan, unfortunately. But I think a lot of companies are having to take a really hard look at like, you know what, why is our entire leadership team white? Why don't we have nearly enough representation from Black Canadians or Black Americans or Indigenous Canadians in our company? And we are going to take ownership of that. We're not going to say anymore like, oh, they don't apply. We're going to change how we recruit so that we change that problem, fix that problem or try to fix that problem. You know, we're going to look at our product and is it accessible for everyone? Is it representative of everyone? No. Okay. We're going to fix that problem. So I don't know. I think even if something like this is a flash in the pan, hopefully the effects that affect people's day-to-day lives hopefully last a lot longer than that.
But do you think, let's say from an agency point of view, when we get an RFP, do you think there's going to be a trend where all of a sudden some potential clients throw in their RFP and they're like, hey, can you show me what your, I don't know, diversity ratio is or whatever?
Oh, that's already a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, a lot of times you only see that from like government RFPs. Like there's certain government type bodies, but yeah, no, that's been a thing for a little while. Like companies who have put inclusion and diversity sort of at the top of their core values, one of the ways that they're able to live that is by, you know, trying to make sure that their contractors and partners are like, you know, following the same standards as them and are diverse and inclusive. Right. So yeah, I mean, I think there, I hope that it means that there's an increase in that. I hope that it just means that, like, even if you're not a government body who has to, air quotes, has to do that, hopefully companies that don't really have to do anything like that are also looking seriously at that and thinking about who they're hiring. And yeah, that would be cool.
There's always that fear, right, of just hiring the token this.
Well, and that's terrifying. Interesting. That's interesting too. I don't know, Derek, if you've had this experience, but I for sure, this is like getting way deeper than, I don't know if we want to go this deep, but like I for sure in my life many times have been the beneficiary of tokenism and affirmative action. There's so many opportunities that I know for a fact I would not have gotten if I hadn't checked all the boxes. And there are moments for sure where you can look at it and be cynical about it and be like, oh, well, do I actually deserve this? You know, yeah. Is this taken away from someone who's more deserving? You know, you can have all those thoughts. I don't know. There are times where I legitimately feel like I have more privilege these days because I am a woman and a woman of color. And there's so many people who would jump all over me for saying that. So, and I know that that's not actually true, obviously, but there are definitely moments where that tokenism, like as much as it's like, oh, this is a really cool opportunity, I'm so glad I got it. But then there's that, like, again, that cynic on my shoulder who's like, okay, but you're only actually getting it because you checked the boxes and that really sucks.
Well, and part of that is like, it's not fair that you should even feel guilty around that stuff too, right? Like that's,
yeah,
it's all wrapped up in one big mess, right? Like, so yeah. You can't win either way, I don't think.
Totally. Huh. Yeah. Like I'm not going to walk away from something cause I'm like, oh, you're only picking me because I'm a woman of color. Of course I'm going to take every opportunity that, you know, works in my favor, but it is a shitty feeling to wonder that. It's a shitty feeling to sit there and go, okay, well, I'm like 85% sure that they said this blank box has to be not a man and not a white man. Right. And, oh, yeah. How convenient. This one checks all the boxes. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. And I don't mean that professionally. Yeah. I'm not saying Zed GLE. That is not at all what I'm saying. I more mean in my like other parts of my life. Like I do a lot of political work, volunteer stuff, and when I'm on boards and things like that. So more like in other areas of life, and sometimes clients, sometimes I wonder too, like if, yeah, you know, we want an RFP because me and a couple of our other great looking diverse ZGMers are the ones on the piece of paper. Like there's definitely moments where I wonder, I mean, it's a great thing, but it, I don't know. It's, yeah, you're right, Peter. There's no winning. It's the systemic problems that have to be fixed before all this superficial stuff that we're talking about even matters. Like whether you have a diverse enough team at your company is like, yeah, that's a box to check. You know, every person, regardless of the color of their skin, has to have truly an equal chance at having the same education, you know, the same access to healthcare, the same ability to stay alive and not get killed for, through any kind of violence, whether that be like from police or any, you know what I mean? It's just like, first we have to have all of our core rights at the same level. Like we truly have to have that before any of the other stuff really even makes that much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. Or maybe it is a chicken and the egg thing. Like maybe if our companies and our societies are, you know, truly treating each other as equals, and there's a much more inclusive sort of representation of all colors and shapes of people, maybe then systemically you won't see as much of a difference. But I don't buy that. Like, I think that governments and the powers that be have to make a lot bigger changes before, you know, what a company does. Yeah, I think to answer your question, the tokenism and that sort of weird feeling that we're all having isn't going to go away until like the much deeper running issues are solved.
I guess it's kind of like the pandemic, you know, the more people that stay home, the quicker the pandemic will go away. So I guess it's just the more people bringing this up within their, the business that they're in, or the brand that they're trying to sell, the more people will take.
That's, I think, the best, the most, you can be cynical and say, well, it doesn't really matter what I do, it's not really going to make that much of a difference. But I think the much better way to look at all this is that, yeah, it's, we're all these like little building blocks going into solving the problem. And it's interesting too, because different companies and different organizations have different kinds of opportunities. Like when we talk about like, okay, don't just be performative. Don't just like put up a black square. So then what goes beyond that? What does that actually mean? You know, some companies, we talked earlier about, you know, the ice cream store down the street, like there's only so much they can really tangibly do. They probably only have like 3 employees. But you know, they can make donations. They can donate proceeds for a day or two, or maybe they do that every quarter or every few months or whatever. Like they can donate. They can make sure that these values are reflected in their hiring. They can use their platform for awareness. Like, so small business is only going to have so many things they can contribute. But as you get to like really big organizations, so if you look at someone like ATB, so they're a provincial bank, there are things within the business world and banking that are huge for equality and especially addressing racial inequality. So ATB put up their statement the other day, and a black business owner wrote, I just thought such a great comment. She owns Buff Wax Spot, and she made a point that, okay, hey, ATB, this is awesome. Thank you for taking this stand. Thank you for committing to like making this a sustained effort and working with your teams to take action. Here's a thought. Access to capital, fair access to capital, is a huge barrier and a huge issue for the black community. And she gave a bunch of great examples of why that is. Like, why is it harder for a black entrepreneur, in her view, especially a black female entrepreneur, to walk into a bank and get a loan? It is more challenging, and there's more barriers and there's more obstacles. And so that I thought was really interesting, because I think there's organizations like that. We can look at post-secondary, we can look at other like major types of companies where they have way more power than the ice cream store down the street to actually make a difference when it comes to these issues. And I don't think people are going to let them just, are going to sit back and let them just like put up a pride flag and call it a day anymore. Yeah. I think that those big companies that have more power are going to be expected to actually make some tangible change, especially when there's examples like that where they can actually make a tangible impact.
Yeah, sounds like we have to look past the ice cream flavors and, ah, darn it, I was trying to think of a CSI type of thing. Think of it. I didn't have my sunglasses, that's why.
Crash and burn in real time.
Yeah.
It's a valiant effort.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about this, and I think it's just going to be a conversation that we're just going to continue to have. But Panita, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And
no, thank you guys so much for this conversation. I think it's super important. I think a lot of businesses, a lot of social media managers, a lot of marketing people, a lot of agencies are sitting back right now and just going, we have got to be better prepared and smarter about major social issues. So I don't know that we've helped them at all with our conversation, but I think it's an important conversation to be having, and I hope we keep having conversations like this.
Totally. And it's just helpful talking about
totally.
It. So thanks so much again, Benita, and thanks Scott and Peter for your time as well, as usual. Yeah. And we'll talk to everyone soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. You've been thinking.